Well, we do welcome each one to our morning worship service this morning, and we've come to worship the Lord together. We're going to sing just this little chorus, He's able, He's able, I know my Lord is able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. We come before the Almighty, all-powerful God this morning, and therefore we have every confidence in our God and Saviour. So let's remain seated and sing this together. I'm in His hands, whate'er the future holds, I'm in His hands. Let's sing this together. Testimony this morning that you're in the hands of the Lord. We're returning to our opening hymn this morning. We sang it on Tuesday night at the prayer meeting, and we're singing it this morning as our opening hymn of praise. We praise thee, number 20. We bless thee, our Saviour divine, all power and dominion forever be thine. We sing of thy mercy with joyful acclaim, for thou hast redeemed us. All praise to thy name. With so much to sing about and praise the Lord for this morning, and we're going to stand to our feet after the introduction and really lift our voices in worship. Let's stand and sing.
We praise thee, we bless thee, our with
secret seats, and we're going to commit the rest of our service to the Lord in prayer. May God be glorified in what is said and done. And may our hearts be blessed, and each one dealt with this morning by the triune God. Our gracious Lord and our loving eternal Heavenly Father, we do bow humbly and reverently before Thee. We worship and adore Thee, and in Jesus' precious name we give Thee thanks and praise and worship for all that Thou hast done for us. We thank Thee for sending Thine only begotten Son into this world to be the Saviour of sinners. And Lord, we rejoice in all the riches of His glory and all the riches of His redemption that are bestowed upon us. We rejoice in that storehouse of mercy that is ever full and from which God blesses His children. And we pray this morning for a blessing from God. We pray for mercy in this meeting. We pray for wisdom. We pray for help to worship. We pray for joy. We pray for a heart of thanksgiving and praise unto Thee. We do ask Thee, Lord, take away all distractions and give us a mind that is focused upon the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege of being in Thy house today. We thank Thee for the open door. We thank Thee for the freedom to preach Thy word. And we pray, Lord, and know that Thy word will not return unto Thee void. It shall prosper. And we rejoice today that God's word does prosper. And therefore, Lord, it's not that there's anything wrong with the word of God, but we pray You'll prepare our hearts, that we will receive it profitably, and that we will be obedient to it. We thank You, Lord, for those who are gathered with us this morning, for their desire to be here in the place of worship. And we pray, Lord, they will leave this house thankful and rejoicing that God has met with them. We do remember those in hospital today. Remember those, Lord, who are waiting on treatment, going through treatment. Remember those, Lord, who have just come through surgery. Thank You, Lord, for those who have got home this week and are doing so well. And our heart's desire is that, O Lord, Thou will put Thy healing touch upon those of this congregation who are labouring under sickness and ill health. We pray grace will be given at this time, Lord, for the cross they have to bear. And we do ask Thee, O Lord, that Thou wilt be very near unto them, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the God of all comfort. We do remember those who are bereaved as well and those who are sorrowing. Remember those who are going through dark valleys today. And Lord, many of us don't know what others are going through. But O Lord, Thou art the one who is able to sympathize with us. And our prayer is that, O Lord, Thou wilt draw graciously near in these days to each of us, Lord, encourage us and turn our eyes upon Jesus. We thank You for the internet and for those who are able to watch on, some in this land and some in foreign lands. But wherever we would be this morning, we pray that our hearts will go out after Thee. And Lord, we will be blessed. We remember our election that's coming up, Lord, in our land this week. We realize, Lord, that our land is under the judgment of God at this time. We see wicked laws coming to pass. We see wicked men in power. And our cry is that, O Lord, Thou wilt be merciful. And, O Lord, Thou will bring into our government those who will uphold the principles of the Word of God, those who will call good good, and those who will call evil evil. We pray, O Lord, that Thou will overrule in a mighty way. Lord, we don't deserve it. We certainly, Lord, deserve the wrath of God, but we pray in wrath You'll remember mercy. And, Lord, give us good people to rule over us. And we pray, Lord, that You'll help us to be faithful. Lord, even in our own lives, that we will live before God and before man with a clean heart. And we do pray, Lord, that You'll bless our families, bring them to Christ, we pray. Unite our family circles in the Lord. We think of those, Lord, over recent days who have been spoken to about their soul, those who have been, Lord, encouraged to come to Christ, and as yet they're still not saved. Lord, we pray that You will come and Thou wilt work in hearts today. We think of those, Lord, who have been saved in recent days, and we give Thee all the praise and the glory. And we pray You'll take them on with Thyself at this time. And we just ask You, Lord, that all of our works will be owned of God this week, and that we will honour, bless, and adore Thee even this day, and our hearts will be right in the house of God. Bless us, we pray. We thank You. We can say this morning we love You, Lord, because Thou hast first loved us. We thank You, Lord. We can say that Thou art ours today. And we pray that if there's any in this gallery not yet saved, that this will be the day they put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, we pray, and meet with us in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen. 571 is our next hymn of praise. The Lord's our rock. In Him we hide a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. And maybe this morning you're going through a storm, but you're smiling at those around you, and nobody knows what's on your heart or on your mind. But we rejoice that we're able to tell you the Lord is a rock in a weary land. He's a shelter in the time of storm. He will keep us safe till the storm passes by. And may your heart be encouraged as you sing these words and even claim the promise of the last verse. O rock divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm, be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Let's stand and worship God. Let's really sing it out. Returning in God's word to 1 Corinthians in the chapter number 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's hear the word of God in this short chapter of Corinthians, but we trust the Lord will bless us as we read together. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he hath done this, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or with extortioners, or with idolaters, for then ye must needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or be an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within. But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Amen. And we know God will add a blessing to the public reading of his precious and holy word. For his name's sake. Amen. We do thank you for being in our gathering this morning. We welcome you sincerely in the Saviour's precious and holy name. We pray the Lord will richly bless you, whether you're here in the building, whether you're watching online. We welcome you in the Saviour's name. We encourage you to share the service. If you're watching on Facebook, just click the share button and get it broadcast out that others will hear the word of God as we worship together. I want to make just a few announcements at this time. I want to mention that this afternoon we have the open air meeting, and it's held in Laca Estate, and we pray for our brethren who will stand there and bring the word of God in Laca. Tonight then at 6 p.m. we have our choir meeting here in the church, just simply for a sound check and a run through the pieces at 6 p.m. sharp. At 6:15 we have a time of prayer in the complex, and at 7 p.m. we have a gospel evening service. And we're delighted that our brother, the Reverend Reggie Cranson from Port Hope, Ontario, Canada, is along with us. He's just completed a week of meetings there in Ballymena, Free Presbyterian Church, and he's with us tonight for a gospel service, and we're really looking forward to this. Do bring your family, your friends out under the sound of the Word of God. Our choir will be singing, our brother will be preaching, and therefore this is the gospel service that he will be preaching at this week. On Tuesday then at 10 a.m. we have our parents and tots group, and at 8 p.m. on Tuesday night we're going to have a believers teaching meeting, and our brother the Reverend Cranson is coming along, and that's specifically for believers. And if you know of other brother and sisters maybe not connected with this church would like to come to that meeting, do invite them, do take the opportunity to bring them in to this place of worship, and our brother will be bringing the word that the Lord has laid upon his heart, instruction and teaching for the people of God. Now, because it is the first Tuesday of the month, we are having our children's workers prayer meeting, and that will take place here in the church building at 7 p.m. So the children's workers, those involved in the tots, the Sunday school, the youth fellowship and the children's meeting, if you could meet here in the church building at 7 p.m. for that time of prayer for the work of God, and then we'll go over to the believers teaching meeting. If anybody else wants to join us for that time of prayer for the children's workers, you're most welcome to come and have that time of prayer with us. But certainly we asked our children's workers to be there at 7 p.m. and over to the church for the believers teaching meeting with Brother Cranson. Wednesday at 7:10 is our children's meeting. At Friday then at 8 p.m. for our elders, we have presbytery in Dungannon, Free Presbyterian Church. On Saturday at 8 p.m. we have the youth fellowship meeting in the complex. Next Lord's Day, 10:45, is Sabbath school. And we started this morning practicing for Children's Day, and we're looking forward to that in just a few months' time. So do get the children in for 10:45 so we can practice together and prepare the children for that special day. 12 noon, family worship, 7 p.m, the gospel evening service in the will of the Lord. I'll be preaching at both services next Lord's Day. To keep praying for a Bible conference, it's now just over a month away. We are looking forward to it, and do pray that the Lord will move even in our hearts as a church. We're looking for the blessing at this Bible conference, and then the youth mission in September, the gospel mission in November. I want to say a word of thank you to those who helped on Friday night for the ordination, the installation service of the Reverend Matthew Higgins as minister of Limavady. And we wish our brother God's richest blessing as he commences that ministry this morning in Limavady. The service was held here on Friday night, and I want to thank those specifically who helped with the technical side of things and also with the food. And we do give you thanks in the Saviour's precious and holy name. We do remember those who've been bereaved this past week. We remember the Henderson family and the passing of Victor, and the Stewart family on the passing of Raymond, and may the Lord comfort and sustain these family circles at this time. Our prayer requests for this week: the Reverend Paul Thapa and God's people in the land of Nepal, and I believe they're coming to the conclusion of building their radio station, and they're opening, in the will of the Lord, in the next number of weeks, months, a radio station there in Nepal that will broadcast over the Kathmandu Valley, and over, I think it's over 2-3 million people will have access to that radio station. So we do pray the Lord will bless in the final touches and preparation for that radio station. And then our sister Joyce Walsh, who is working among the children here in Northern Ireland. Our tithing missionary offering for last Lord's Day of April totaled £1,803, and we thank you for your giving to the work of the Lord. Next Saturday, a very special week of meetings is starting in our denomination, and it's called Mission Vision. And the Free Presbyterian Mission Board have organised a special week of meetings that the church would get that vision once again for the missionary work. And I know in our church we do have a vision for the work of God across the world, but this is specifically focusing in on mission work for this week. The details there are on the card in the hallway. I put it onto our church Facebook page, so you can look there, and the details will be on there. Now, it runs from Saturday through to the following Saturday, and we are running a bus on the Monday, the Friday and the second Saturday, and those are the nights that we've nothing on in our congregation. So we'll have a sheet in the hallway, and if you would like to partake of the bus on the Monday, the Friday or the Saturday, then you're free to do that, and certainly we can travel down as a group to that meeting. It will also be on Facebook as well, I'm sure, so you'll be able to watch online if you can't actually make it down to the meeting. If any of the ministers or elders this morning can be of any help to you over this next week, then please do make contact with them. This morning we want to make a small presentation to Matthew and Hannah Eccles. And our brother has come through the Whitfield College of the Bible, and he is going tonight. This is our last service with us this morning, and their brother is going tonight to be welcomed into Dungannon Free Presbyterian Church as ministerial assistant there. And we're delighted that the Lord has opened this door of service for you, and we pray that the Lord will richly bless you. And we have enjoyed your fellowship here, and we pray that the Lord will help you in the days ahead as you take up this new post. So if you would like to come up, and Hannah as well. If you just stand there, we'll have a word of prayer, and there'll be a presentation for Hannah as well. We'll just have a word of prayer together. Our gracious Lord and loving Heavenly Father, we rejoice in thy hand at work among young people in our denomination, and especially this morning for our brother Matthew and our sister Hannah. We thank you, Lord, for opening this avenue of service. And we pray as our brother and sister will go to Dungannon and the Lord work there and serve there, we pray that thou wilt richly bless them and make them a blessing. And we pray you'll protect their little family. We pray, Lord, that you will be everything unto them that they need. And we do ask you, Lord, that we'll hear of great things being done through your brother in the days that lie ahead. We rejoice that, Lord, thou art building thy church and thou art calling people to serve. Bless our brother as he would serve thee. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing one more hymn before we come to the preaching of God's precious word, and that hymn is 293, I Must Needs Go Home by the Way of the Cross. There's no other way but this. And we'll stand and sing once again. Let's stand and sing. I Amen. Let's take the word of God this morning and turn to 2 Kings in the chapter number 6. 2 Kings in the chapter number 6. Let's hear the word of God reading from verse number 19. And Elisha said unto them, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, "My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" And he answered, "Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hadst taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink, and go to their master." And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy living word. And our cry is this morning that, Lord, thou would speak to us clearly and specifically. Each of our lives, if there's a need of salvation, Lord, minister to us. A need of restoration, minister to us. Lord, a need of something to be put right, speak to us. And Lord, if there's a need of encouragement, whatever the need is, Lord, we pray that thou wilt speak to us. May God's voice be heard today. And empty me of self and sin, I pray, and fill me with thy spirit. Give me help, Lord. This is thy living, holy, and true word. And therefore, give me thy help to communicate it this morning to this congregation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Well, we do have to do a quick review of what happened the last time that we spoke on this, which was August of last year. And I want you to look back at verse number 8 of 2 Kings chapter 6. And it says, "The king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servant, saying, 'In such and such a place shall be my camp. What happened was that the Syrian army were trying to attack Israel. They were trying to defeat the king of Israel. And different plans were made in the king's secret council chamber. But God revealed every plan to Elisha. And Elisha went to the king of Israel and told him about the plans of the king of Syria, and warned him not to be in a certain place at a certain time, and warned him that certain people were coming at different times. And there was confusion among the Syrian people. They couldn't understand how this had happened. But someone then realized, in verse number 12, one of his servants said, "None, my king, or my lord, O king, but Elisha, that prophet that dwelleth in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." So they realized who it was. They realized that Elisha was taking their war tactics and bringing it over to the king of Israel. And the last time we spoke on this passage, we spoke from verse 13 down to verse number 18. And we see in verse 13, the king of Syria said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told, "Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he hither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about." They sought to take Elisha. Elisha was a problem to them. Elisha was hindering their attack. And they wanted to take Elisha out of the picture so they could then get to the king of Israel. Now, there was one man that was a threat here, but look what they brought. They brought the horses and the chariots and a great host and came by night because they wanted to go against this man. Now, humanly speaking, Elisha was outnumbered. Here was this man standing in the midst of a host of Assyrian army. But whenever Elisha looked, he didn't just see the physical. Elisha saw the spiritual. And he prayed that the Lord would open the eyes of his servant. In verse number 17, and the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they come down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now, this blindness was not complete physical blindness. We know that from the passage, because we've already read that they followed him. Elisha asked them to follow him, and he took them into Samaria. So we know it wasn't that they couldn't physically see, but it was that they couldn't understand. What they saw, they couldn't understand. They didn't recognize Elisha. They didn't recognize where they were going to. They didn't understand that they were walking right into the enemy's territory, in a very dangerous position, in fact. They didn't have that understanding. They didn't have that sight or that perceiving. And therefore, this confusion that was brought among them was as a result of the prayer of Elisha. This is a good way, actually, to pray for enemies of the gospel and to pray for enemies of the Lord, that the Lord would bring them to confusion and confuse their wicked plans, that they'll not be able to do what they set out to do because they're confused. And may the Lord do that in our land today. Now, this brings us then to verse number 19. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. Now, some Bible commentators have said, Elisha told a little lie here to get them to follow him, to trick them. Now, nowhere in the Bible is that acknowledged. Excuse me. Nowhere in the Bible is that acknowledged. And Elisha is not recorded as being a liar to get out of difficulties and out of difficult places. Excuse me. And the Lord honoured what he did, so we know it wasn't a lie. But he knew what their ultimate goal was. And their ultimate goal that morning, or that morning, that day, was to go to the king of Israel and to attack him. So whenever he says, I'll bring you to the one whom you seek, that's exactly who he was going to bring them to. He was going to bring them to the king of Israel. I want to pause for a moment, and there's a little line that stood out to me this week as I was studying the word of God. Elisha said unto them, this is not the way. This is not the way. I believe this morning in this congregation, there are people whom I could look in the eye and say to you, this is not the way. Just as God's servant that day said, this is not the way, to this people, I want to say to people in this congregation who are not saved, this is not the way. The way you're walking, the way you're living, the way you're traveling, this is not the way. It's not the way of blessing. It's not the way to heaven. You see, some people are living and walking towards eternity with no idea how close they are to the end of the journey. And there's only two ways you can travel. You can only travel either the broad road, which we're all born onto, and that leads to eternity in hell. Or you can travel the narrow way. And the only way you can be on the narrow way is by repenting from your sin and by trusting in Christ as your own and personal Savior. And if you're not saved today, you're on the broad road that is going toward hell. Now, there are many types of people on the broad road. There are many types of activities on the broad road. There are murderers on the broad road going toward a Christless eternity. But there are also members of churches on the broad road going to hell, because while they belong to a certain church, they've never turned from their sin and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may think you're living quite a good life, but if you're not saved this morning, you're on your way to a lost eternity in hell with every depraved sinner that has ever lived, whether you're living a good life or not. It's not asking you to live a good life that gets you into heaven. It's by turning from your sin and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Some people think they're good enough to get to heaven. Some people think they're religious enough to get to heaven, but they have never been saved. And there's some people, and all they do is they go to church and put their hope, and they think this is the way to heaven. There's some people, they live a certain lifestyle, and they think this is the way to heaven. There's some people, and they're baptized because they think this is the way to heaven. Friend, I say to you this morning, if you're not saved, whatever you're doing, whatever you're hoping in, whatever you're trusting in, this is not the way. There's only one way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then there are some people, and to be honest, they're not trying even to get to heaven. They're not interested in heaven. They're living, trying to find pleasure and purpose and peace and hope and satisfaction in sin. And they believe the more they engage in sin and the more things they do and the more activities they participate in that are sinful, the happier they will be. And that's what the world tells us today. If you want to be happy, drink more, live immorally, do this, do that, do whatever feels good, do whatever you want to do, and you will be happy and satisfied. And there's people today, and maybe even in this service, and you're looking to alcohol for satisfaction. Maybe drugs, maybe immorality, maybe cheating, maybe lies, maybe selfish living. And I say to you, this is not the way to happiness. This is not the way to peace. This is not the way to joy. Oh, the pleasures of sin are for a season. But it tells me in Isaiah 57:21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There is no peace in the things of the world. There is no peace in sin. And maybe you have been finding it difficult in recent days to put your head upon the pillow and to sleep. To put your head upon the pillow and have some peace, drifting out to sleep, knowing everything's okay. You try to put church out of your mind, the Bible out of your mind, heaven and hell, all of those things out of your mind because you're living the wrong way. There will be no peace in your heart as you look toward eternity if you live in sin. There's only one way to peace with God, and there's only one way to the peace, having the peace of God, and that is by repenting from your sin and calling the Lord for salvation. But can I say this morning, not only to the unsaved, but we could apply this little statement to believers. This is not the way. This is not the way. Two examples. First of all, there are some Christians, and they are praying and seeking the Lord for the blessing of God upon their lives. That's a good thing. We rejoice in that. However, there's some particular area of their life that they are disobedient in. They are disobedient to God's command. They're willfully sinning. It's not that they don't know what the Bible says. They know rightly what the Bible says, but they've just decided to disobey. Maybe they hold bitterness against another believer. Maybe they're deceitful in their conversation, in their finances, or in their business. Maybe they lie to get out of tight corners. Friend, this is not the way to blessing. And you can pray from now until the end of the year for blessing in your life, but if you're willfully going to keep that sin, you'll not be blessed in the way you want to be. Now, no good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. But if there's something in your life that is hindering the blessing of God, your first duty is to repent from it, then pray for the blessing of God, and hell itself will not be able to hold it back. But I say to you, believer, living in sin, doing that which is willfully wrong, refusing to repent, refusing to agree with God that is against him and offensive to him, I say to you this morning, this is not the way. But then there are other Christians, and they seek and pray for joy and peace. And that's a good thing too. Lord, may I know your peace, may I know your joy. And we ought to pray for those things. They're ours by sovereign right. However, they will not let go of their past. They will not let go of their past. They continually lament over their sin, that they have sinned in the past and that is now under the blood. They frequently agonize over what they once were, and they spend their time in grief and in sorrow and in affliction because of what they once were. Friend, that's not the way to joy, and that is not the way to peace as a Christian. Yes, we ought to remember what we were when Christ saved us. It's good for us to look back and remember we were hell-deserving sinners. But nowhere in Scripture are we told to continue to hold to that and think continually about it. No, we're told to think about the cross of Christ. We glory in the cross, not in our past, for there's nothing to glory in. And Christ has saved us, not that we would continually lament over that sin, but that we would rejoice that that sin is now under the blood. It's covered. It's dealt with. You are now free to serve. And maybe the devil is continually bringing your past before you. Are you really worthy to pray? Are you really worthy to serve? Are you really worthy to do this or that because of what you were, what you have been? Friend, if you have repented of that sin and it's under the blood and you're walking with the Lord, you are worthy. And you've every right to do those things. And I say to believers who will not let go of their sin, this is not the way to blessing. This is not the way to joy. I know this world is going to come and attack us. I know the storms of life will rage. But even in the midst of life's storms, we have a Savior who speaks, peace be still. Even in the midst of life's difficulties, we have one who gives us songs in the night. And when Jesus says, you're forgiven. You're forgiven indeed. You're forgiven eternally. You're forgiven completely. And we want to rejoice. And we are to rejoice that our identity this morning is not in what we once were. But my identity is in who Christ is. His righteousness is mine. That's how I'm viewed. Not in our past, because it's blotted out and it's under the blood. And therefore I say to believers this morning, enjoy your salvation. Enjoy your freedom. Enjoy your standing in Christ. And if you think about that for a few moments, it'll not be long before the song of the Lord fills your heart with praise. This is not the way. So we read in verse 20, it came to pass that while they were come to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Now once again, we see the prayer life of Elisha. It seems to be that he just simply talks to the Lord. And how beautiful it is when we hear just people talking to the Lord. As friend with friend. Yes, with reverence. Yes, with respect. But just simply talking with the Lord. He was specific in his request. Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw. You see, he was able to rejoice in answer to prayer because he had specifically prayed. And we note in this verse that he was the one whom they sought to bind and bring back to Syria. But what is he doing? He's praying for their good. He's praying that the Lord would take away this blindness or this lack of understanding. He prayed for those who sought his hurt and harm. These men were sent to capture him, and he's praying for them. Now, I know there are times in life whenever we're hurt. There's no doubt about that. However, it is a Christ-like response to pray for those who hurt you, for those who are against you, for those who are your enemy because of the gospel. And you know, as I thought about that, that's such a mark of our Savior. He prayed for those who sinned against him. All the sins of each man and woman, boy and girl in this gathering offend a holy God. In our sinful state by our birth, we don't want to live by God's law. We live in antagonism towards him. We set ourselves up as our own Lord and as our own master, all the while transgressing the law of God by which one day we will be judged and found guilty of breaking. But if you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53, there's a beautiful verse that was brought to me this week, and really, I've read it many times, but it's only this week that I sat down and I took on board a little passage of it. No, we know many of these verses off by heart. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, but it's verse 12 of Isaiah 53 that I want to read to you. Look at this verse. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and bare the sins of many. And note these words. He made intercession for the transgressors. He prayed for those who transgressed his law. This is speaking about Calvary. A friend, on the cross of Calvary, Christ prayed for his enemies. He prayed for you and he prayed for me. He made intercession for them. And I know that human reaction is, I wouldn't give them the time of day. But the Christ-like reaction is to put them in your prayer list. And may God give us grace to do that. This is Spirit-led, Spirit-filled living, praying for those that hurt you and seek your harm. It's not easy. It's not natural. But it's Christ-like. And the hymn writer said, I want, dear Lord, a love that feels for all. May God give us the heart to pray, just like Elisha did for those who came to harm him. Verse 21, and the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? Now, what a contrast we have here. We have godly Elisha praying for the people. And then we have this wicked king. And his only thought is revenge. He speaks in hatred. He repeats the question. His repetition essentially in the Hebrew means, shall I utterly smite them? Every single one of them, not one will be left standing. They'll know not to come near me again. And it's interesting that he speaks to Elisha with very pleasant language. My father. Now that was, in the Old Testament, a term of endearment, a term of reverence to those who were in authority over you. But let's be honest and call this out for what it is. This is sugar-coated talk of a wicked man who thinks he's going to get his own way. Oh, it seems so gracious and respectful. But one Bible commentator put it this way, the wicked use reverent and grave language towards the servants of God when they think to have any blessing from them, though in their heart they cannot abide them. And in case you think that I'm being very unfair to the king of Israel in this verse, go to verse number 31, and this is the king of Israel speaking. Then he said, God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. Just a few verses later, he wants to execute the man. And there's a principle here. Be very careful about those who stand and flatter you to your face, especially when they're looking something. And here was a man who had no love for Elisha, no care for Elisha. He just thought he was going to get his own way. And he was all pleasant because he thought Elisha was going to be used to get his own way. God reveals. Friend, God revealed here in the scripture this words. He maybe just thought, I'm going to butter him up and I'll get my own way. But God has revealed and set in eternity the two-facedness of the king. And it ought never to be said of any believer that we're two-faced. That we're faithful. And we speak what we mean. And we mean what we say. You know, character is best revealed not when things are going your way. Because things were going his way for the king of Israel. The people who were trying to attack him, Elisha had brought them, and he thought, wow, this is my greatest day because I'm going to deal with these people. He thought things were going his way. But friend, character is not revealed when things are going your way. Character is revealed and best measured in the day of trouble. When things are difficult, then true character shines forth. Now, verse 22, Elisha tells the king of Israel, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with the sword and with thy bow? So he said, look, if you went out and got people captive, refugees from another country that you'd taken captive, would you kill them? No, you wouldn't, because there is that principle in war that you do not take those whom you have taken captive, you do not kill them. Certainly, scripturally, that is covered in the Old Testament law. And the thing was here, it wasn't actually him who went out and captured them. These were God's captives. God had brought them to this place. They were the Lord's. They weren't the king's to do with what he liked. And Elisha says they were to be shown mercy and kindness that they might go back to their master, the king of Syria, and report how they had been treated in the name of the Lord. Now you can imagine, if They were mistreated, badly treated. If even one of them was killed and the news got back to Syria, what was going to happen? There was going to be a full-blown war. And warfare was going to come. There's going to be much death and tragedy on every side. But the whole matter was diffused by kindness. The whole matter was diffused by kindness. And they were given to eat, and they were given to drink, and they were allowed to go free. Oh yes, they could have been killed. They were in a very dangerous situation, humanly speaking. But God was working his purposes out, and his servant was there. And whenever we come to verse number 23, it says, they prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Kindness shown in the name of the Lord diffused the threat of attack for days, maybe years to come. You see, because the king obeyed and honored God's word through Elisha, a blessing came to the land. God brought about a better resolution to the problem than any man could have tried. And friend, if we would only learn this, if we would only learn this, instead of us trying to influence things and make things go our way, that if we would only go to the Lord, because God always has a better way. God always has a better plan. And I say to you, even in your life, God always has the best way for you. Do you not see the importance of living closely to the Lord? Elisha had questions to answer and decisions to make in a moment. Shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? He hadn't time to go away and hold an hour-long prayer meeting and see what the Lord would do. But he didn't need to, because this was a man of prayer. This was a man of scripture study, doing it daily. He knew what the will of God was. He was walking with the Lord. And friends, sometimes situations will come in our lives. We don't have time to go and pray. We don't have time to ask for a special request at the prayer meeting for wisdom. We simply have to make a decision there and then. That's why it's so important that we are walking with the Lord. We're continually reading his word, that we're continually praying. Elisha knew the moving of the Spirit of the Lord, leading him, equipping him, and imparting wisdom. And friend, that's exactly what you and I need today. We're living in a wicked world. We're living in a world that wants to take Christians by the throat and just get rid of them. May God give us wisdom. May God give us grace to live quietly and peaceably before man. May God give us that faith to believe that his way is best, and to go through with God. In spite of the questions we might ask, in spite of the questions that others may ask, may we go through with God. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 30, and with this we're closed. Isaiah chapter 30. And we want to read from verse number 19. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. Let's stop there. God is gracious. A friend, if you're in need this morning, if you need decision, if you need direction, if you need help and encouragement, whatever it is, God is gracious and he will hear you at the point of your cry. Whenever you speak, God will hear. And the promise here is he will answer you. Verse 20, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And here is a verse that teaches us the importance of the word of God. This is our teacher. The prophets, the apostles, those who have given the word, they're our teachers. And you may be permitted to go through affliction. And you may be permitted to go through adversity. But God's word will be before you. God's word will guide you and lead you in the way. And then verse number 21, I love this verse. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left, and you know, if you're just about to veer off, the voice of God, no, this is the way, you walk this way. Maybe go this way. No, this is the way you walk in it. And friend, as long as the word of God is open before you and you're in the place of prayer, God will lead and guide you. And my question this morning is this. God has a way for you. A specific way for you to walk. And for some people in this congregation, it's a very specific plan. God has a calling in your life in some way, some measure, some form. My question is this. Are you walking in the way that God has for you? I ask young believers here, are you walking in the way? Are you walking in the way that God has for you? I ask church members, I ask committee men, I ask elders, I ask myself, I ask all in this gathering, all watching online, are you in the way that God has for you? God is speaking. Open this book, pray and seek the face of God, and then be content to know that I am walking in the way that God has directed me in. Many a person has started off very well, walking in the ways of God. Then they get distracted by something else. Or something took their attention over there, or they were knocked and they were offended or they were wounded, or something happened. And they forsook the way of God. And they're just living their own way now. Oh yeah, they're still saved, but if they're honest, they're not satisfied, they're not content, they're not happy, they don't have peace, and they don't have the joy they once had. And they're not walking in the way that God has directed them and is directing them in. God wants to use you, dear brother. God wants to use you, dear sister. There is not one of his children that is useless. But you must be in the way. Your life is precious. It'll only play once. This day is going to go at midnight and we'll never get it back. You can't live this day again on the 1st of May. You can't get another chance or another go at this day. Every day is precious. And I urge you and I beg you, walk with God. Walk in his way. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God's ways are the best ways. And therefore, this morning, in a few moments as we sing our final hymn, you call on the Lord. Lord, thy way. Thy way. I'm walking this morning. Should it be decades you haven't walked with the Lord? Maybe it's just this week. Maybe it's a few months. That you'll leave here this morning, not just walking down the steps of a church, but walking in God's way. May God grant it this morning. The hymn is 467. 467. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, not what a glory he sheds on our way, while we do his good will, he abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey. We're going to sing verse 1 and verse number 4 of this hymn. And then we'll remain standing for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee and we do praise thee for the privilege of being God's house today. And as we have recommenced our study in the life of Elisha, we thank thee, Lord, for these gleanings. We thank you, Lord, for the challenge to our own hearts. We thank you, Lord, that as we stand in the mirror of Scripture, Lord, we see that which needs to be put right before thee. And we pray, Lord, that you'll grant it that each one of God's people will be found walking in the way of the Lord. And we pray if there's any today who are not saved, Lord, we would cry with those words that the prophet cried, Lord, all those years ago, this is not the way. This is not the way. Oh, don't allow sinners to go any further in their way to a lost eternity. But turn them, we pray, that they might put their faith and trust in Christ and start for the way that leads to heaven and to home. Bless thy word, we pray. Bring us back this evening, Lord, for a blessing in the place of gospel preaching. For it's in Jesus' name we cry, and for his glory. Amen and amen.